All right, our next speaker is Arthur Brown, and he is Vice President of Technical Services for Crown CRT. Arthur joined Crown in 2016, bringing with him 15 years of technical sales experience in performance chemicals, underground and surface mining, as well as general business operations. He earned a BS in mining engineering from the Colorado School of Mines in 2001. And he's getting mic'd up right now, which gives me a few minutes to talk. I've been speaking with my crew about the presentations, and they're in the process of loading them up to the app. A lot of the speakers, they're making changes to their presentations as they're walking up here with a thumb drive. So we expect that on Monday we'll have the presentations available through the app. And then later, 30, 45 days out, we'll have the presentations loaded on the Hologen Loading website with audio. So you'll be able to see the PowerPoint and the audio. And we will email out a username and a passcode for everybody who's registered to the event. So, all right. Welcome, Arthur.
Great. Thank you.
Is this on? It is. Perfect. Well, thank you all for having us here. We're excited to present the idea about premium diesel. Who uses diesel in this room today? A lot, right? How about 5 years from now? A lot. Yeah. 10 years from now, probably still a whole lot. And other technologies as they continue to evolve. So what we propose to the industry is an ability to upgrade the standard conventional diesel to a premium diesel. And we're going to talk about that today, about how to do that, how we believe that makes sense, and some of the results in doing that, and how that is saving money from a fuel perspective, and good for engine health, and clearly good for the environment. For less carbon in is less carbon out. So Crown Carbon Reduction Technologies, we've been in the industry as Crown Products and Services, like Nick said earlier, for about 30 years, and rebranded a couple years ago to really highlight what we do as a business. All of our functions are about sustainability to ESG and the environment and smooth operations. So we really wanted to address that, and the rebranding was part of that effort. Products we bring to market: dust control, material handling. We do antioxidants for coal, keep it from combusting. Coal in the powder basin is like good compost. As soon as you dig it out of the ground, it starts burning in a couple weeks. It starts building carbon monoxide. We've got technologies that address that, and that works for stockpiles of coal and so forth. Road dust, specialty products like that, underground road dust, mine water treatment. But we're here to talk about one of our two flagship products. That's the CRT, Carbon Reduction Technology Catalyst line. We launched it in really 2018, 2019, initially in frac, and it's grown very well. And we've got some good stories to share with you today. You can see in the bottom there, 126, 130 million gallons of diesel we've treated, prevented about 10 million gallons of consumption through direct analysis, and about 113,000 tons of CO2 have not been prevented, not been released to the atmosphere. So we think that's a pretty big deal, considering those customers and consumers have had a net fuel savings for the use of our chemistry. But it's a fuel additive, and we all know that fuel additives are a troubled bunch of products. So we own that, and so we'll just call it. You know, some people suggested we're snake oil. That's fine. That's fine. We've been called worse. So no big deal. There's a reason why fuel additives exist. And I'm going to touch base on that as the educational part of today's kind of talk. The idea is that diesel fuel hasn't changed really that much. Ultra-low sulfur diesel came out, and that hurt lubricity. That was a challenge. A lot of injector failures in the early 2000s because of that. Other than that, however, diesel fuel really hasn't evolved much. And consumers, every one of us, myself included, we all want the cheapest fuel possible, right? So we put pressure on the whole fuel supply chain to make the compliant product that meets OEM specifications And it may or may not be any better than that. So it's a basic diesel product, right? So we're the problem to this solution. So are there ways to dress up diesel to make it work better? Yes, absolutely. A huge amount better? No. But some better? Absolutely. So that's what we're talking about here. On the right's just a bunch of detail. There's 30 or 40 properties for ASTM D975 diesel spec that says this is what diesel needs to do in order to be compliant. And that's not really good enough to be a premium diesel, but it does burn. Premium diesel will reduce fuel consumption and your net operating cost. Depending on how you're measuring your fuel, maybe your performance, if it's tons, gallons per ton, gallons per pound, gallons per hour, however the gallons per ounce, measuring your performance and upgrading your fuel properties will deliver you savings. Less fuel means your carbon initiatives can be achieved incrementally today and tomorrow until our excellent new emerging technologies can really be in full force. Premium diesel also extends engine life by cleaning, burning better. And both directly, it's less fuel. So we talked here a lot the last couple of days about fuel drives life cycle on engines. That's very true, but so does the engine oil properties. And I'll show you some information about that that I think is a pretty compelling argument that says this is good for the insides of your diesel engines, regardless of the tier. And less fuel is a measurable carbon reduction. EIA.gov's every gallon of diesel makes 22 and a half pounds of CO2, give or take. Carbon in, carbon out. That's measurable. You can measure that impact today. All of our businesses' reports and reports say, hey, we burned this many gallons of, made this many pounds of CO2. Fuel is a direct, easy way in, out measurement of that. So we'll talk a little bit about the strategies that some of the additives use, and we'll peel the layer back a bit to what we're doing to bring it all together. Cetane is Wikipedia here. I took a couple of quotes. I'll just bring your attention to that in the bottom here in a second. But cetane is the ignition properties of diesel fuel. You squish a cylinder, you squirt fuel in, and if it ignites, it has enough cetane because it's a pressure and temperature ignition fuel. So the higher the cetane number, the higher, more easily it ignites. Typically, the lower the cetane number, the more energy in the fuel, and there's just kind of, so if you raise these cetane numbers by 3 to 6 points, 3 to 6 numbers, you have more fuel efficiency. Wikipedia says lowered fuel consumption with improved cetane number. So kind of conventional stuff, we all know that. There's a bunch of additives out there that raise cetane, that's fine. Deposit control, injectors, inside the injectors, components that deliver the fuel to the engine. There is no ASTM requirement for the level of deposit control in your diesel fuel. There may be some standards, but there's not a measurable requirement per se in the US. So adding a multifunctional detergent to your diesel fuel is beneficial. It will help maintain your original equipment fog and spray pattern from your injectors. So that's a good thing. A couple pictures there. The middle ones are a clean injector tip and a filthy injector tip. You imagine that spray on that bottom one's not going to be so good. And that's an issue. That's costing all of us money and health on assets. So clean detergent, clean injectors is important. 1 to 2% fuel efficiency can be benefited. Sometimes more, but generally that's the accepted range. Now, protecting your fuel system, lubricity is a big deal. The SCAR test is how industry measures this. Imagine a plate and a ball bearing. You scratch that ball bearing soaked with fuel, and the depth of that gash is the microns of the lubricity of the fuel. Really easy way to measure it. What we do as of our strategy is to improve the lubricity of the fuel by around 80 microns. That's a pretty significant improvement, well beyond whatever the base fuel is that's already compliant, but we make it better because that saves money and dresses up this product and makes it a premium diesel. That 60 or 80 micron improvement has a north of 70-ish percent reduction in, I've been using the term, involuntary injector replacements. So that'd be cold cylinders during use that get weak and die over time. And I've got a case study here that shows that. The last piece that the industry and our previous speaker did a great job setting up for this one is that OEMs have been improving the emission tier emissions on all this equipment. So all this after-treatment stuff to clean up the released emissions to the environment. It's not doing anything to make the fuel burn better. It's just cleaning up what is released from that engine. So you've got diesel oxidation catalysts, you've got selective catalytic reduction, you've got diesel particulate filters, urea, exhaust gas, all these engineering systems that are challenging to keep running perfectly and may not really reduce your fuel or improve your fuel efficiency. But they contain catalysts that do reduce your bad actor emission products. So what we're talking about is bringing that into the cylinder with a fuel-borne catalyst so that you can gain benefit from that contained energy in the diesel fuel and save money. So the catalyst component that we engage in the fuel is an ion. It is dissolved in the fuel and it stays, it's a particle that is not consumed during combustion. It's an active participant from stored fuel to active combustion to release to the environment. Say, well, is that a cause of concern? No. If you're reducing your emitted soot by, say, 40%, and you're adding 0.1 or 0.01% of our mass back, that net oxidative stress is significantly reduced. So it's a huge move in the right direction. So don't worry about that particle, but know that it is there for the whole combustion process. When you roll all that together, this is what the last 4 years of experience says to us. The CRT product line delivers somewhere on order of 6 to 12% fuel efficiency. Those are some big numbers, and we get it. 6 to 8, pretty darn realistic. We see that day in and day out. We see a lot of 6 to 8% fuel reduction numbers. The fuel savings exceeds the product cost typically 2 to 1. We think that's a big deal because you want to make money with new technologies, and here we are, it's a no capital cost product. It's rapid to deploy, it's readily scalable. It's something that can happen in a week from this moment in time today if you wanted to figure out how to pilot this at your operation to start saving money sooner than later. It's readily deployable. That's exciting. There's not a supply chain issue on our components or on our deployment dosing units. The product is ESG savvy, if you will. So you can easily measure the performance, the savings through reduced fuel in equals reduced CO2 out. There are no trade-offs. If you're tier 2, tier 1, tier 0, tier 4, we're not making any new emissions that are bad. We're not raising nitrous oxides. That's some additives will do that. We don't do it. We lower nitrous oxides, and you'll see that coming up. And CO2, again, is at a net savings. Last, and certainly not least, is that treated fuel remains and is actually in well in excess of OEM requirements for safe use. We're well over 2 million engine hours to date of no issues, no drama in CAT, Cummins, LeBaire, MTU type engines, tier 2, tier 4, tier 1, 2-stroke, 4-stroke. We have a lot of experience, so we can safely say it is going to be good and healthy for your assets, but we got data to support that. So when you roll these pieces, cetane and lubricant detergent and catalyst all together, this is how we view the contribution of those three phases to the fuel performance. The fuel catalyst, somewhere between 3 and 6% fuel efficiency improvement from the catalyst component of our product line. And we'll show you how it lowers the oxidation energy required for whatever hydrocarbon we come in contact with. Diesel fuel, volatile organic compounds, soot, all that stuff. Cetane improver, 2 to 4% for improved combustion there. detergent. We talked about 1% to 2%. The added bonus is the healthier engine life, and that's oil and injectors, and we'll show you that. We bring a few products to market. The point here is there's the ability to even customize to a specific style of fuel. If you're in a market where you're producing your own fuel and you want to do something there, or you have a whatever the issue, we're actually treating import fuel in Savannah, Georgia, to bring non-compliant off-spec fuel up to a premium diesel spec. Pretty exciting stuff. The Endurance product, 1,000 gallons of treated diesel to 1 gallon of chemical, a maximum fuel efficiency. For straight diesel users, our Endurance product is, it's the ticket. And we can customize that to your specific fuel if there's something unique going on, a biodiesel or a fully renewable diesel with a very different cetane profile. We can deal with all that. The premium preventative maintenance product is something like that would be for a high cetane based fuel. 2001, still getting great results and engine cleanliness and all that good stuff. Clear for on-road. We recently got listed with EPA for on-road, so if there's challenges with regeneration on DPFs, we can help with that. Again, making the fuel burn more completely in cylinder is the goal. Then the premium is our flagship product that we use in the oil and gas space. That primarily is a dual fuel case where you've got mostly Cat 3512 Tier 4 with diesel and natural gas with direct injection. We're seeing significant improvement in utilization of those hydrocarbons in a dual fuel environment as well. So that's been a big deal. We've got, almost 20 hydraulic fracs dedicated to that chemistry today. That's a pretty big deal. A little soot reduction evidence. Pictures are worth 1,000 words, and hopefully these are big enough. But on the left there, the premium and endurance are two really flagship chemistries. You can see that what this test is, I'll back up. This is putting carbon black soot, being the hardest actor to burn all of in cylinder, in a crucible, mixing with the catalyst, and baking it for 20 minutes. These are the result. So on the far left, you can see the premium product at 500 degrees and the endurance at 500 degrees had basically all that soot get burned up. The on-road took a little more energy. EPA has their own kind of special needs, so we've got a slightly less effective catalyst, but still quite effective to oxidize that soot. The competitor product, that is a cetane boost lubricant detergent type product. I guarantee all of your maintenance teams have heard of that chemistry. And you can see even at 550, it had negligible impacts on the soot. And then, of course, the control just for good measure. Pictures are pretty useful, and I think in the front of all of our brochures, there's these two pictures as well, so you can look at those more closely. Top is a frac in the Permian Basin, Caterpillar Tier 2, 3512. There's about 45,000 horsepower sitting there pumping water and sand into the ground, so 30,000 gallons a day, give or take, of fuel consumption. Before and then after, you can see the visual emitted smoke is gone. So, nice visual thing, nice social thing. Our previous speaker talked about emissions settling in bottom of a pit. We don't want to be sucking all that soot in your operator's lungs, pressurized cabs, great, but if you can prevent it from being formed, all the better. How about on the inside? This is my personal Cummins pickup truck. That's your engine oil at different intervals. You can see that even at 9,000 miles, there is not much smoke sitting in that oil. So visually, it's shown our maintenance folks that that's a big deal. Less soot in oil is really important for oil life, and improved oil properties reduces your engine from being eaten from the inside out. But by the numbers, this is a surface coal mine in Montana that's been using the chemistry for quite some time. It's one of our earliest adopters. The yellow rows are conveniently Caterpillar engines, and the red ones are Cummins engines. You can see that Cat, with 270 oil samples, is showing about a 40% reduction in soot in a conventional engine oil. It's a 300-hour interval on these oil changes, same in baseline versus treated. It's a significant reduction. And iron was reduced by 13% in 300 hours. Short interval. Lead and copper is reduced nicely. Cummins, about a 30% soot reduction. Iron wasn't quite as good as that 13 from CAP. It's still 5. Directionally, it's very relevant to what we're talking about here. And then lead and copper from bearings, bushings, and the engines, a lot lower as well. So from a health perspective, we see that as being really watertight data supporting the directional benefit of this product internally to your assets. This customer, between this oil properties improvement and their demonstrated 8 to 10% fuel efficiency across their operation, extended their asset, budgeted asset interval for their engines, their swing interval, additional 5,000 hours. So that's a huge deal. Injectors, we got two different studies here. This is another surface coal mine. The plot on the left is 4 years of baseline involuntary injector replacements. And the orange or red is the injectors that have been involuntarily replaced after we started treatment. So you think lubricity is a big deal? That's an 80-ish percent reduction after we started using our chemistry. So involuntary injector replacements. This customer, when we piloted there, they gave us an old truck. They said, hey, it's a fuel additive. Let you guys just, here's an old truck. It's wore out. 38,000 hours in this engine. This thing's done. In their view, it was done. So they said, hey, if you guys break it, who cares? It's due for a new engine anyway. After we did our pilot on this engine, Cummins come in, took a look at it, tore it down, did their bore scopes and all that, and they said, man, this engine looks great. What are you doing? Leave it in service. Run it. Don't swing it. Run it. So this customer saved, was that $400,000 or $500,000 by not swinging the engine that one time, paid for chemistry for their operation for the year. Kind of a big deal, right? So it all directionally kind of adds up. What does it mean to fuel? Here's another surface coal mine. We talk about coal because we're based in Gillette and we've got a lot of friends in the basin, right? A lot of opportunity there. So this mine is, we got a 2-year baseline and about a 9-month in the study period here. And we broke it down into coal and dirt. Coal in Wyoming generally is slightly going deeper with time, so the work required is pretty much the same year on year, and dirt's a lot more variable. We're long haul, short haul, reclamation. So we basically said the 830 trucks, well, the 830 trucks do haul coal and coal only. The Terrax trucks only haul coal, and the 930Ds are mostly coal, but some dirt. And you can see on those two coal numbers, there's a 9 and 12% reduction from 30 to 27 gallons an hour, or 39 to 34 and a half gallons an hour. Those are pretty big reductions. So coal average, 8.2%. Now dirt, not quite as sexy in numbers, but the dirt work is a lot different. And I think our next speaker is going to talk to vertical rise is really influential in your fuel consumption. So kind of a change in operating conditions probably suggests some of the impacts on the dirt side of the study. But during that period, $330,000 in net fuel savings and all the soft savings of cleaner oil, better asset health. Here's a flow loop. If any of you all are familiar with a frac pump, that's a Cat 3512 engine. It's Tier 4, this had about 12,000 hours on it. Frac pumps have engine, transmission, and a positive displacement pump. So you have all these parasitic losses on the back end that we just said, let's not measure it, let's keep them the same. Run it 1,900 RPM, fourth gear, and make hydraulic horsepower and measure your work by how hard you're pushing that water through a choke. Right? Very objective test. Put high-resolution flow meters on supply and return fuel lines. And then baseline it for about 5 hours at 50 and 75% engine loads, condition it for 30 hours, and then treat it, or condition it, then test it on both the Endurance and the premium products. Off picture here, there's a fuel truck with multiple compartments, so we could guarantee we had the same fuel properties for the whole project as well, because fuel quality changes a lot seasonally. So we held that constant as well. The premium product, 7.4%. It's a pretty big number. And Endurance, 6.1% reduction in fuel for the same work output. These are pure load. You're up at load. You hit tear in your flow meters. For the next 15 minutes, you burn this much fuel. You stop the meters. That's your number. Our chemistry at lower boost, as you're building boost, you're coming out of the ramp, you're starting from dead zero. When you don't have that high boosted environment, we'll do even more benefit than that. So 6 and 7 is a nice basement number. The other thing here to point out is we measure the emissions on that engine. And oxygen was up, which makes sense. You're burning less fuel. See at the very bottom, CO2 was down 7.5%, just like the premium product showed, less fuel. That makes sense. CO was down 35%. NOx was down, all in the right direction. Hydrocarbons down 21%. Deployment's easy. We've got a skid you can plop on at your fuel island and treat your fuel on recovery from a tank or delivery to a tank or to an asset or whatever. So super easy to deal with that. Savings model. Let's say you're spending $4 a gallon on diesel and you're a 10 million gallon account, 10 million gallons of diesel a year. Under that 7% number, you would have a net savings after product cost at list price of $1.6 million. You would prevent 7,800 tons of CO2 from being released to the atmosphere. That's a negative cost of $200 a ton for CO2 reduction. So the product is good for your engines, the economics, and the environment. Any questions?
Any questions for Arthur? Arthur, what's probably the most common misconception you have to overcome when you're working with a new customer?
Probably that it's going to do something to the engine's warranty. Mm-hmm. So we do actively test treated fuel, or untreated fuel and treated fuel, and that's how we typically get that customer over that hurdle, is we would, here's your baseline test, here's the treated fuel, and we show improvement in compliance, and that checks that box. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the relationship, if any, between your products and renewable and biodiesels?
Great question. All of the fuels that Kevin just talked about are compression ignition fuels. And what our chemistry does is help it ignite sooner and burn more completely in cylinders. So it works with all those fuels. If you have a high cetane based version of one of them fuels, then we can adjust the formulation to cost optimize it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank great presentation.
Okay, our next